And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
As we look at the fourth anniversary of the bombing of Baghdad, we can say that if nothing else, there's a lot to be said about freedom and true democracy. And we make that point as we head out to Washington, D.C., where filmmakers from around the world will be showing off their visions as the 15th Annual Environmental Film Festival kicks off. And we hear from the godfather of environmental activism, Dave Foreman, about overpopulation's silent victims. It's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
With daylight now stretching into the evening, and here in San Diego, temperatures in the 80s for a day, it feels a lot like summer. It's interesting, this is the earliest ever in my lifetime that daylight savings time has come so early, and if ever a vote comes up to repeal the early arrival of the longer day, I'm taking to the streets. Anyway, we've got a great show coming up. We'll be heading off to the nation's capital to talk with Flo Stone, who is launching the 15th Annual Environmental Film Festival. As it launches today and continues for a week and a half, this is probably one of the most meaningful expressions of the state of the art that you'll find on Earth. We'll talk to Flo during segment two. In segment three, we continue to bring you some of the most significant voices about nature and the environment. As we bring you Dave Foreman's Around the Campfire, The Human Population Explosion and Biodiversity. If you don't know who Dave is, you need to know. He offers his commentary on human population and its wider significance and a few warnings. As always, Dave is prepared to poke a stick into the embers and stir things up a bit, even within our own community of right thinkers and the environmental movement. So there's a full show ahead. And we'll get into the pith as soon as we get caught up on the news. So now, the news. The Department of Interior this week reactivated oil and gas leases in pristine public lands in southern Utah, which had been under consideration over 20 years ago for oil and gas leases. The leases, which are located in the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, and Glen Canyon National Recreation Area, were initiated before these areas received protections due to their reclassified status as protected public lands. However, efforts to demonstrate a viable justification to open such lands for oil and gas exploration continue. Reconsidering these old leases may be another attempt to find that loophole. Spokesmen for the BLM contend that the original lease applicants deserve to have their leases reconsidered, as they were never acted upon years ago. Opponents of the BLM's decision counter that it was up to the leaseholders to demand action before their rights to drill had lapsed. As the final 2 years of the Bush administration unfold, the drive to get some form of exploratory drilling on protected public lands will likely continue despite public opinion, which is generally opposed to violating these long-established protections for our precious public lands. In Australia, hit hard by an enduring drought, and home to the world's largest feral camel population, estimated to be as much as 1 million strong, ravenously thirsty camels are rampaging through various small communities, particularly in indigenous inholdings, tearing up pipes and water systems, ripping open air conditioners, and generally doing whatever they can to find water. The camels were imported to the Australian continent in the 18th century to open up the vast desert regions, but are now feeling the heat, so to speak, of the worst drought in Australia in 100 years. Not only are the camels gone wild for water in human settlements, they are also competing with other native fauna for whatever water is available. The camels run in large mobs, with upwards of 200 camels roaming and tearing up fences, water tanks, and aboriginal sites. In such numbers, the camels pose serious threats to anything that stands in the way between them and the quenching of their thirst. Australian officials are making plans to cull the overall herd, and in some cases already have issued instructions to kill 100 or more camels per week. The meat from the camels is used as pet food and often shipped to overseas markets. Despite the global acknowledgement that climate change is underway, representatives of U.S. delegations traveling on official business to foreign countries have been officially memoed to refrain from making any comments on climate change, global warming, and polar bears. Polar bears are high on the censors list, as they have been added to a list of potentially endangered species due to the shrinking of polar ice in the northern latitudes. Fears that listing polar bears as threatened due to ice melt, due to climate change or global warming, or whatever one wishes to refer to such, could place powerful restrictions and mandates which would demand that nothing be done to further endanger the species, which translates legally to better watch your carbon emissions. Such could be the first battle, which could force the U.S. to constrain carbon and greenhouse gas emissions to prevent further impact on the polar bears. Despite this mandate from above, the memo applies only to public statements and events. Scientists are free to discuss polar bears in less public arenas. Paul Wolfowitz, premier neocon and president of the World Bank, provided an assessment of his views on climate change and the uneven distribution of pain between the developed and developing world in the years ahead. He stated in a recent interview that although much of the advanced economies were seeing large amounts of investment and strategic leveraging to offset the myriad problems expected around the world, those in the less developed world were seeing little if any effective strategies to mitigate the problems as water dries up in high altitudes of Africa, crops disappear, coastal flooding increases, resulting in the disruption of life for millions of the poor around the world. Wolfowitz made the remarks partly in response to criticism that the bank spent too much time in essence wearing dark suits and not enough time getting their hands and feet in the field where these changes will be most dramatically felt. Wolfowitz suggested that World Bank efforts to decentralize their outreach and support can be increased and that the work and image of the bank will change through time. And in a related story, there's good news about global warming if you happen to be one of those who get positioned between carbon-spewing companies and new cleaner corporations. It's called the Carbon Cap and Trade Marketplace, and it's being launched as a means to counter greenhouse gas accumulations and thus slow down climate change. The market for carbon credits is real, with over 60% of the trading handled through carbon trading firms in England, where the global marketplace is being crafted. Trade permits to emit greenhouse gases is one hell of a bullish market, doubling to more than 20 billion euros, over 26 billion U.S. dollars, last year alone. There's lots of money to be made in brokering the deals, and if all goes according to the vision, this will drive the transference of investments into the cleaner technologies throughout the world, as these clean technologies can then sell their carbon advantage through the exchanges. Although the billions of dollars in this new exchange sound impressive, the growth of the market may not in fact effectively keep pace with the actual challenge of significantly altering the greenhouse gas time bomb. But there are some very influential players who are counting on putting a lot of green into their banking houses. And that's the news. And a few announcements. I try to cover a broad spectrum of issues each week on the Wild Side News, and quite frankly, I wish global warming, climate change, mass extinction, the disappearance of amphibians, the invasion of our public lands, and other such realities were not so pressing. Because my real passion is with the real world, and by that I mean nature in its miraculous wonder. And that's why I'm so happy that next week we'll be devoting the entire show to the topic of animal emotions with one of the world's leading animal behaviorists and a real friend in spirit, Mark Beckoff. So be sure to make a special effort to listen to next week's show. And if you're a new listener and have not already added your name to our weekly email update that tells you what's planned for each show, it's easy to do so. Go to the participate link at the top of the homepage and shoot off an email to me as a friend or partner. You'll be glad you did. In just a moment, We're off to the nation's capital to help launch one of the most comprehensive and exciting environmental showcases to date. So stick around, because your voice of the earth will be right back here on the Wildside News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.